After facing growing pressure to resign, even President Obama weighed in on that one, Democratic Congressman Anthony Weiner stepped down today. He made the announcement in the last hour in his home district in New York.
I had hoped to be able to continue the work that the citizens of my district elected me to do, to fight for the middle class and those struggling to make it. Unfortunately, the distraction that I have created has made that impossible. So today I am announcing my resignation from Congress.
Yeah! Bye-bye, pervert!
Those hecklers in the background shouted at him a number of times during his announcement. Weiner thanked the members of Congress, the voters, his family, and his wife, though she wasn't in the room for the announcement. By now you've heard all there is to know about Weiner's sexcapades on Twitter. And since this story has gone on for the better part of a month, you've probably heard a recap of every other political sex scandal from the last decade or two. You know the names. Chris Lee, Eric Massa, Larry Craig, John Ensign, Elliot Spitzer, David Vitter, Barney Frank, Newt Gingrich, and of course, President Bill Clinton, just to name a few. Sex scandals tank many a political career. What's more surprising is how many of those careers bounce back, sometimes in surprising ways. Then again, while a politician may be able to hang on or start over, the institution of Congress itself takes the hit. If you've ever voted for a politician after a scandal, why? Give us a call. Our number is 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org. Also, you can go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. With me now to talk about weathering political scandal is Norman Ornstein. He's an expert on Congress and politics and a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. He's with us now from their studio in Washington. Thanks for being on Talk of the Nation today, Norm.
Happy to be with you, Andrea.
Now, Congressman, now former Congressman Weiner, went on to suggest that he'll be back.
I got into politics to help give voice to the many who simply did not have one. Now I'll be looking for other ways to contribute my talents.
Norm, other ways to contribute my talents.
Kind of gives you a chill, doesn't it, Andrea?
well, he was a very talented politician.
He was extremely talented and a fixture on television. And as we look towards the moment when he would resign, my first question was, which will it be, CNN, MSNBC, or Fox? Because I expect full well that within the next year, we will have Anthony Weiner with his own show or on the show with somebody else, a la Elliot Spitzer. But keep in mind one other thing. Elliot Spitzer, when he was forced to resign from office as governor of New York,
because he was a client of a prostitution ring.
But also a scion of a quite wealthy family, mm-hmm. With a family business to go back to. Anthony Weiner does not have a lot of money. The prospect of getting a regular job, hard to imagine many law firms lining up to hire him right now. Frankly, not much prospect of a lobbying job because he didn't leave a lot of friends around Congress. He's going to have to try and find some way to make a living. And frankly, cable television or talk radio right now are the best outlets.
But you know, Norm, it seems like individual politicians do manage to redeem themselves after a fall from grace. There is no lack of examples of the Elliot Spitzers and Bill Clintons, who's sort of now considered an elder statesman, and Newt Gingrich is on the campaign trail, after he was having an affair, an extramarital affair, while trying to impeach President Clinton. It just goes on and on.
It does go on and on. And I think Americans have tended in the past, for the most part, to try and separate out private lives, knowing that most of us have some kind of messy aspects to them, from public performance. And we forgive and we forget to a considerable degree, not in every instance, but in a lot of instances. And there are so many scandals and so many problems that it begins to fade a little bit in the background. I suspect there are plenty of people who now would say, Elliot Spitzer, wasn't there something back there then? So it's entirely possible.
Or Barney Frank, for that matter.
Yes. And some who manage to stay on in office can move way past it and prove to be among the most effective in public life. And Barney Frank, who is one of the most effective members of Congress, certainly reflects that. Weiner may very well, at some point down the road, be able to even resume a political career. And, of course, we've even heard some talk of Spitzer thinking again about running for office. Bill Clinton remains the gold standard here, though, somebody who's among the most beloved figures in American and global public life, playing an immensely effective role not very long after he left the presidency.
Hmm. Norm, let me ask you one more thing before I get to those calls, and I really want people to call in who may have voted for someone after a political scandal. But Norm, it seems like even if those congressmen come back, or politicians of any stripe come back, the institution of Congress ends up taking the hit in the long run.
There's just no doubt about that. And every single year, we have at least a few scandals of this sort that pop up. It's interesting how many of them have come from New York. Eric Massa and Chris Lee from Buffalo.
Right, Chris Lee of the shirtless picture on Craigslist and Eric Massa of Tickle Fights fame.
Yes, and of course, Chris Lee, the progenitor of the internet scandal that hit Anthony Weiner. But so many of them happen in Congress in both houses, and there's sexual peccadilloes, and there are misuses and abuses of power. And I think it just adds to the general cynicism that Americans have that the people we elect to Congress are just not very trustworthy. You put that together with the sense that they live very high on the public dollar anyhow, and it adds to the challenge when they are making calls for sacrifice from everybody else.
Yeah, let me just speak for everyone I know for a moment, because all I've been hearing for the last, 20 days that I've been covering this story is, what is wrong with these people?
And there's not an easy answer to that. Although, one thing that I believe is true is that if you look at elites, partners in law firms, accountants, people in, let's pick an institution like the International Monetary Fund, bankers.
Speaking of Strauss-Kahn, of course.
Right. And business executives. That, some of these same kinds of pathologies occur and probably occur if you, control for income, level of power, and education and the like in about the same amounts. But when you're in public life and you're given a public trust, it takes on a little bit more coloration. At the same time, people who go into public office have egos that are probably larger than others. And what I find so astonishing about this, Andrea, is you can have example after example of those who go down in spectacular flames from reckless behavior, and then somebody pops up and does the same thing all over again. When you think about Weiner, who was forewarned repeatedly, not just from the Chris Lee problem, but we know that some conservative bloggers had been talking to the women he was interacting with online.
They were monitoring his Twitter account.
Monitoring him, and he knew that, and he still kept it up. You wonder what it is in the synapses of the brains of some of these people that they keep doing things that could bring them down entirely, thinking that the rules just don't apply to them.
Norm Ornstein, hang on. Let's take some callers. Let's start with Keith in Cincinnati. Hi, you're on Talk of the Nation.
Hi, I'm Keith Denning. I was one of those people that supported Bill Clinton after his infamous liaison with Monica Lewinsky. And even though I knew that he had had sex in the White House and that he'd even lied about it, I still supported him, primarily because who else was there to vote for? He still represented my values the best. He still seemed to be the most effective leader. And I thought that he was the only one that was on the ticket. And I agree with what your guest is saying. My biggest problem with them is not that they're sexual trysts and liaison, is that they lie about it when they get caught. And I've never understood exactly when, for example, this particular incident, he said he was going to go to rehab. Just what kind of rehab do you go to for this?
Yeah, I think most people understood that as an attempt to buy time, Norm, more than any actual rehab.
Yeah. Although, I do find it interesting, Andrea, that, some therapists out there have said that there is a kind of compulsive pathology here. But with that, and even if we accept the notion that there might be a good place where you could go over a period of time to rehabilitate yourself, it is the standard excuse and way out to try to avoid consequences, too.
Okay, let's go to Elaine, also in Cincinnati. Hi, you're on the show.
Hi. You wanted to know if I had voted for a politician after a sex scandal?
Yes.
And yes, I have twice. I voted the second time was for Bill Clinton. that I know of. The first time was way back when our mayoral candidate, Springer,
Jerry Springer. Jerry Springer, you say?
Yes, Jerry Springer was the mayor of Cincinnati, Ohio. And this is when you had to win a majority of votes in council to become the mayor. And he won after his sex scandal of writing a check to a prostitute.
Thanks so much for your call, Elaine. I mean, it seems, Norm, that there is lots of this evidence that people will judge politicians occasionally. They sort of have this realism, don't they, that the politicians are maybe worth keeping in office, even if they are schmucks.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, the first caller's point was an interesting one, which is let's just look pragmatically. For all of the warts, including huge and unsightly warts that some political figures may have, maybe they are the best ones, given their political positions, their values, their talents, to keep in office. And constituents somehow seem to look at this differently than everybody else anyhow. Mm. Anthony Weiner tried to lash himself to the mast to withstand this enormous pressure to leave and couldn't. But we know from surveys, at least, that if he had been able to do so, there's a reasonable chance, if New York politicians had left him a district, that they would have voted him back in. We cut more slack to people we know or we think we know.
And my guest is Norm Ornstein. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And, you know, it seems, Norm, that this is it's sort of an extension of the old adage, all politicians are corrupt but mine.
There's little doubt that we look at those we either have supported or who represent us in a different way. And some, rather astonishingly, I mean, to me, you know, we have a glaring example right now on the other side. David Vitter, the senator from Louisiana, a, you know, Christian conservative focused heavily on moral values, who, it turns out, regularly visited prostitutes in both Louisiana and Washington, D.C., over a long period of time, had the, you know, usual picture of wife standing by him, then came up for re-election, and it seemed to have no impact whatsoever on the voters in Louisiana. It's really quite remarkable at times when these things happen, and voters just either shrug them off or say, there are other things that matter more.
And Vitter even made some of those calls during votes on the floor.
There were some interesting stories about what he did yes. In some of these encounters.
Washington is a lovely place to live and talk to your friends. Norm, let's go back to the phones for just a second. Let's talk to, we have Judy in Sacramento, California. Go ahead, you're on Talk of the Nation.
Thank you for taking my call. First of all, I think there's a huge, huge difference between quote unquote moral corruption versus, say, legal financial corruption. Moral values vary according to the person. I personally think it is immoral that the state of California is cutting money from senior centers. I think that is an immoral act.
Mm-hmm.
Whether, you know, the governor fools around with somebody, you know, not everyone, but there are so many people that do that. They're just not, it's just not advertised.
But Judy, let me ask you a question. Does the sort of continuing news all the time of these scandals color your view of the Congress as a whole?
Oh, what it does is deflect, you know, I almost feel like the whole thing is a conspiracy to keep people focused on not important things like how many people are without jobs,
okay, Judy.
How much money is being cut from the schools, things. It's just, what is that expression about the tail wagging the dog?
Yes, Judy, thank you so much for your call. I think, Norm, I think she's getting right at what I'm suggesting, and that is that people feel that the Congress is not effective, that they're paying attention to everything but the substance of governing.
Well, they have a point there, don't they, Andrea, as we know. It is the Congress. I must say, I can't say that I'm shocked, But when I watch cable networks who flash breaking news on the screen hour after hour, who have not focused on some of the things that Judy was talking about, who haven't focused on larger questions about how are we going to build a society with a healthy workforce that we can leave in better shape to our children and grandchildren, but just fall all over themselves to do the Anthony Weiner death watch right. about when he'll resign. That's not terribly helpful either. But it's not as if Congress is distinguishing itself by forcing attention away from these scandals onto the big issues. They may be just as happy, which is what Judy intimated, having a focus here.
So quickly, Norm, in 15 seconds, the view of Americans of the U.S. Congress after all these scandals.
It is largely negative. It's always been largely negative. It's even more so, but it's also a little bit jaded now as they look at individuals showing immense personal foibles amidst their inability to deal with the big problems of the day.
Norm Ornstein, he's a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. He joined us from their studios here in Washington. Norm, thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure, Andrea.
Tomorrow, it's Talk of the Nation Science Friday, and Ira Flatow will be here for a look at what Voyager 1 is reporting back from the edge of the solar system, 11 billion miles away. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Andrea Seabrook.